So today, I'm going to be, the aim for me today is to tie a bow, perhaps, around a season that we have had in this church for quite some months now. And we've been toing and froing whether I would speak today or Pastor Kyle. He even recorded a message on Friday whether I would share this message today. But we're quite confident that God wants to draw all the various facets together about the season that we've been in. It's been our focus for a long time. This year, More Than Able has been our theme. It's been on our heart that we would truly understand and live in the light of the greatness of God. And we have continually read Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 to 21. And I want to do that again right now. If we go to the next slide, if we can read together. The next slide. Yeah, there we go. Let's read together. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now this has been the thread that we've taken throughout this year. And we've then moved in line with this theme. We've had a Made for More series, which is where we sought to unpack and understand what our spiritual gifts are and how our personality mixed with our experiences and our passions all come together for God to build us up as the church inside and out for his glory. Many of you took the spiritual gifts survey and you did the personal profile and could report off the top of your head for many of you what your spiritual gifts were. And many a conversation I've had over recent times with people have been excited with the results, some of them confused perhaps, or some of them at times disagreed. I know Pastor Panin keeps on saying he doesn't have mercy, but he does have mercy as his gift. Yeah, he sits up there trying to look grumpy, but he does have that gift deep down within. But you can still, at this time, you can still go to our website and you can click on those various areas and you can do the spiritual gifts test. Doesn't take you very long. You can respond to the profile, and it just helps you to understand how you're made, that we are made for more. The test is not perfect, it's far from it, but it's opened up a discussion in the body of Christ here at Clayton about how each one of us is uniquely made. And we're made by God, and it started the process of us asking a lot of questions and fanning into flame. You know, Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. Fan it into flame. And I love to build fires. I love to build fires. I'm a bit of a pyromaniac at times, and I have a wood-fired oven at home for cooking pizza and roasted meats. Just thinking about it now. But the bit I enjoy just as much as anything as a nice leg of lamb in that fire is I love building the fire. There's so many components to building a fire. You've got to have the dry wood. You've got to have, obviously, the spark. You've got to have some paper. You've got to have a dry environment. And then I like to say that I like to become one with the fire. Become one with the fire. But there's nothing quite like the initial stage of the flame starting in that kindling wood, and then you start to fan the flame. And I'll stand out there for hours, and my family will all be inside watching why is Dad in there just fanning the flame. But I'll be fanning the flame to get the larger wood to catch and burn. And then woof, you know. It suddenly singes my eyebrows off and my arm hair goes off. But it takes off, and once this happens, I don't have to try anymore to build it. I don't have to try anymore to build that. We've been encouraging you to discover and then fan into flame these gifts that God has put in you so that they might take off and enable you to build the body of Christ inside and outside the church. Amen? And then we moved, we've had the Made for More series, and then we've moved into the worship series, which is where we focused on Romans chapter 2 and verses 1 to 2, and to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper act of worship. Moving through this series was so powerful for many. As we heard from everyday members of our congregation, everyday members who have been seeking to fan into flame the gifts that God has placed in them. We heard about worship, we heard about outreach, relationships, stewardship, holidays or rest, understanding who I am in Christ, and finishing last week with prayer and prophecy. And our aim here was not to big note anyone, to put anybody up on a stage and say, oh, I'll be like this person. But it's like to hear from those who have taken seriously what's been entrusted to them. They've been given a gift. It's been entrusted to them. They've taken it seriously to fan it into flame. And then they would share out of that overflow. And for every one of them, it was an overflow out of their heart. What God has been doing, I can share out of that. I'm ready to. And they share out of the overflow of applying that. And it is edified in it. Us, and it's encouraged us and it's grown us. Do you agree? Yeah? Many of you have just commented on just how helpful it's been in the last recent times in the series. So that's what we've been kind of doing for a big chunk of the year, and now we find ourselves today at a little bit of a juncture, a little bit of a crossroads before we change direction and head into Father's Day next week. And you'll hear Pastor Kyle next week on video, and he's going to be sharing. And that's going to be good, about how to be a godly man or something like that, I believe. Is that right? Yes. So I'm going to be listening. But all of you women, you can listen too. Not so that you can be a godly man. That's not happening. But so that you can understand us men. Yeah? It's going to be helpful for you. But I sense very strongly that we need to take stock of what God has been doing in the church. Yeah, we need to settle a little bit. Slow down a little bit, take stock of what God has been doing in the church and in us individually. But we can't just move on today. We've got to pause and consider. And that has certainly been really what we've felt this week. And I did throw it around many times, whether I would preach today or not. And Pastor Panin, this is why he's up on stage, because he's got to stand with me while I sharing my heart, because, you know, he keeps on prodding and say, I think you need to preach, Paul. I think you need to preach, Paul. I think you need to tie a bow around what God has been doing in the church in this recent time. So he's up on stage because he supports me with the little tinkling bits. Yeah? Beautiful. Now, it feels like that kind of thing. You know, I want to say that in whatever Pastor Panin's doing today, whatever you bring, and I'm going to be sharing some prophetic words that have come from sitting with some people that have been listening to God, that it is the body of Christ here that joins together to be a beautiful bride of Christ together, and we need every one of us, and we need to support one another, and when we do that, we're going to see beautiful things happen in this place. Amen. And so this is where we're at today. You know, there's been a great deal of movement around here, and some would say busyness. You know, 1,000 announcements we have over the many things that are going on. And maybe that's so. It could be considered as busyness if we're doing all these things in our own strength. But what we are seeing is that many are taking their gifts seriously, their passions and their experiences. And they're taking what has been entrusted to them, what's been given into their hands, and they're putting it to work inside and outside the church. So the outworking of that will increase our activity. Doesn't mean you have to be at everything, but a person on fire for God, responding to how he has made them, stepping out in faith, will see some activity. And our job here at church, we're trying to work it out at the moment as a leadership, because we've got so much going on. So much going on. How do we facilitate you We're not going to do the ministry for you. But how do we facilitate you to take a step out in faith? Champion you, encourage you, sometimes step back and allow you to do it, and just encourage. But how do we do that? At times it's overwhelming even for us as leaders. You know, there's been the Indian service started, and it's facilitated, it's run by everyday members of this church. It's not the pastors here. Amazing. There's another person passionate about creativity and prayer, and they're drawing it together, and they've started a life group where people express their gifts creatively, and they learn to pray through this. I couldn't have come up with that. Something buried on the heart of a person, and they're stepping out in faith, seeking to build the body into maturity. And let alone many of you who have been putting your gifts to play in action in your workplaces and your families, and seeing the fruit of that as you sense God's favour. It's beautiful, and it's the body at work. This is how we are meant to be. Do you agree? This is how we're meant to be, the body at work. So today I want to pause and consider what the kingdom of God looks like when we faithfully apply our gifts and we plant them like seeds. I'm going to read from the Message version, something I wouldn't normally use as the main text, but it helps to paint such a beautiful picture as we consider this today. Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 26. Thank you, Lord. Then Jesus said, God's kingdom is like a seed thrown on a field by a man who then goes to bed and forgets about it. The seed sprouts and grows. He has no idea how it happens. The earth does it all without his help. First a green stem of grass, then a bud, then the ripened grain. When the grain is fully formed, he reaps. It's harvest time. Let's just pray. Lord, I pray you would take this word today and you would just embed it deep in our hearts as we listen to you. Holy Spirit, have your way. Thank you that you are doing a work even now. I trust you, Lord. Amen. Now, I'm convinced that we're not sufficiently aware of how things grow in God's kingdom. I'll say that again. I am convinced that we are not yet sufficiently aware of how things grow in God's kingdom. We are still expecting the result of a great harvest by the work of our own hands. Yes, we are responsible for planting the seeds, but we can only plant a seed of faith, and then the harvest comes from a work of God. Yes, we need to keep planting seeds. We need to be planting seeds of truth, seeds of faith, seeds of the gifts at work, seeds of godly passion, seeds of wisdom, all of these seeds of sharing our faith, seeds of stewardship, seeds of the absolute highest praise and worship, seeds of rest and seeds of prayer. And as we do, then we leave it in God's hands. And overnight, or maybe the next day, maybe the next year, or maybe we will never personally see the result. But when the grain is fully formed, there will be a harvest. There will be a harvest. And what does Ephesians 3:20 say? Now to him. Now to him. It's over to you, God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Now to him, it's his power, it's his enabling. He does the work and we plant the seeds. It is God who is able to do more than we will ever be able to understand. And you know, in recent weeks in this church, I've met with two guys. And they're sitting in our congregation today and they have responded to the gospel only recently, but seeds were planted in them more than 25 years ago, some 30 years ago. But they've only responded actively to the gospel in a church setting in the last few months. Seeds were planted and they were growing bit by bit for a very long period of time. And in the most cases, The person who planted the seeds is not even aware of what the outcome is. It took all that time for the grain to be ready for harvest by those who didn't even plant the seeds. It's amazing. And these verses from Mark 4 today, they say that the seed sprouts and grows and the sower has no idea how it happens. God does it all without his help. Bit by bit, first a green stem of grass, then a bud, and then ripened grain. It is our responsibility, church, to plant the seeds entrusted to us. Not to store them up, not to bury them or discard them, and then leave the results to God. I want to share with you a prophetic picture that was given to me by a member of our congregation recently, and they shared this. That I'm a gardener, and I watch my tomato plants when the season has passed, and it will dry up and it will go to seed and drop these seeds onto the ground. And then I will go out again next tomato season, and I will see the new plants coming up, and none of these plants did I sow. They're not from my own effort. And the prophetic word continues, and this is a picture of what Clayton Church is like now. As people are embracing the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives, they are finding their gifts and their place. And as they plant these seeds, a new level of leadership and godly people have been raised up, and this will lead to revival as we reap a harvest of what God grows and what God multiplies. Amen? And the leadership team of the church has been given the wisdom to discern how to cultivate this new level of leadership and godly people. And that ends the prophetic picture. Church, let's go and plant some tomato seeds. Amen? That we've been entrusted with. And we will leave the growth to God. Amen? The multiplication and the bountiful harvest, that's up to him. This is how things grow in God's kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Moving on in the passage. How can we picture God's kingdom? How can we picture God's kingdom? What kind of story can we use? It's like an acorn. When it lands on the ground, it's quite small as seeds go, yet once it's planted, it grows into a huge oak tree with thick branches and eagle's nest in it. Most of us would be familiar with this passage, but normally referring to the mustard seed growing into a huge mustard tree. Eugene Peterson, who pulled together the Message version of the Bible, took the imagery of the small seed growing to the large tree, and he presented it as something that modern-day readers might be more familiar with than the mustard seed. And he's used the acorn and the oak tree, and many of you have seen oak trees, how huge they are. And as a kid, I remember picking up the small little acorns and throwing them at people. But it grows into the huge oak tree with its branches thick enough for eagles to nest into it. Whatever the seed and plant we are referring to here, a seed is not dead. A seed is not dead. It's not dead matter. Yes, it is dormant, asleep, if you like, but it is full of potential, just waiting to be activated and germinated. And this only happens when it hits the soil and when the right conditions for moisture and temperature, and then it starts to grow. We have to plant the seeds that are entrusted to us, with the way God has made you, with the gifts, the passions, the experiences you have all had, put together, planted in the soil in faith, to activate and realize the full potential of what God has for you and for this church and for his kingdom. Something so small, so unlikely, so insignificant can grow into a tree that towers over houses and stands strong against the wind and all the elements. The size of the seed is absolutely insignificant because God understands the potential of the growth in his kingdom when it is planted. Amen. In Zechariah 4:10, he prophesies, "Do not despise these small beginnings." These small beginnings. "For the Lord rejoices to see the work begin." The Lord rejoices to see the work begin. God understands the potential of a small seed planted, and he rejoices over that as the planting happens. You know, someone we all love and respect so much here at Clayton has been planting seeds for a long time, and I'm going to talk about Pastor Kyle for a bit. He doesn't know this. Pastor Kyle has used his gifts in teaching, shepherding, and telling jokes about polar bears over the last 5 years or so. But he's done that for many years before he even arrived here, yeah? He's been planting faithfully for many years. And we've been the beneficiaries, amen, of his planting, of the way he plants his gifts. We are beneficiaries almost immediately. But as God has used his gifts to grow and edify us, and to a certain extent, for us to find shelter, like the passage talks about, in the strengthening branches of the kingdom of God here in the church, because of the way he has planted his seeds. But we also know that recently that Pastor Kyle shared about his struggle with anxiety, which kind of hinders him getting up in front of large crowds at the moment. It's very real. It's very difficult. And it stops him from exercising his very strong gift of teaching. Thankfully for video, he's able to get up in front, and you'll be able to see that next week, and that's going to be good. This is tough for him, and we miss what he brings. Now, I'm going to leave it up to him to tell his own story, but I just want to draw out some observations from how his vulnerability has had an impact on this church. As a person shared with me, Pastor Kyle's vulnerability gave us the permission to speak things as they are. But then have faith for what they will be. Pastor Kyle's vulnerability gave us the permission to speak things as they are, but then have the faith for what they will be. Kind of like the seed and the tree, the acorn and the oak tree, the mustard seed, the mustard tree, the potential. And just at this point, we want to say that we love you, Pastor Kyle. We want to say that we love you, and we know that God has some awesome plans for you and for your strengthening, and may you be healed in Jesus' name. Amen. But this is what the kingdom of God looks like. This is what the kingdom of God looks like. A small seed of vulnerability planted has great potential, because in faith it can become a strong tree for others to nest in. His honesty has allowed for all of you as an amazing and healthy and loving church to embrace him. And more than that, it has helped some of you to be able to face your own struggles. Yeah? Nesting in the branches that has been strengthened here. It's the body of Christ at work. You can face your struggles in a godly kind of way. So one's pain and struggle has been turned into healing for another, and at some level, strengthening for the body of Christ here. Amazing? That's God's, the kingdom of God at work. Through his people. Planting seeds. Planting seeds sometimes of difficulty. Entrusting him to bring about the results. So today we declare over the many here who are struggling to understand their personal current situation that it is good to speak things as they are. Now let's be honest, let's say this is where we're at today, but I've got faith because I know my God is bigger than these circumstances, and in fact I'm going to continue to plant today. I'm going to continue to plant my seeds, the gifts that God has put in my heart, that he's built me with. I'm going to, no matter the circumstances, I'm going to plant. Let's sow some seeds of faith for what they could be used for as God brings about growth in his kingdom. Amen. So here's the summary here. There is something special happening in this church, and I hope you agree. There is something special happening in the church, a move of God within his people, truly becoming the kind of activated disciples representing Jesus to everyone, everywhere, with everything. It's beautiful. God is building his kingdom, and we have an awesome, awesome opportunity to be a part. We are responsible for planting the gifts, passions, experiences, and the way you have been made, and planting them for the glory of God. We can't sit on them, because unlike I said before, the seeds are just dormant, but they've got potential. Well, if seeds are not stored well, they die. They actually die, and they won't produce, even if planted. We can't sit on them, because they'll die. And we know that the harvest is 100% up to God, but it will always be plentiful, always, because he is good, and he's the one who grows, even if we don't always see it. And we will trust him to make it grow. And multiply, and grow a bit more, and multiply, and grow a bit more, and multiply, just like the tomato plants. And we must consider the unseen potential that God has placed in every small seed that we have been entrusted with to plant for growth in his kingdom, knowing that he is doing a good work, and he is doing the work of strengthening his people for his church, for the glory of God. Amen? Amen. All praise and glory to God. Have your way in this place, God. Have your way. Have your way. Amen. Would you stand with me? If I can invite the worship team. And another prophetic picture that I want to share with you that someone submitted to me in this time. And perhaps you can put your hands out like this. Put your hands out like this, not in front of you, out like this, side to side, yeah? That all of us in Clayton Church are like ferns, unfolding and unfurling into what God has made us to be. And we're becoming a forest of interconnected ferns. A forest. All of us, as we unfurl, we bring glory to God. Amen? We are worshiping him, and we join with all creation in doing that. We are not alone, church. As we worship, we are worshiping with all creation. We are all starting to become aware of what our giftings are, where our place is, and the interconnectedness of what God is doing in us now, and how that is becoming part, how we are becoming part of something bigger. And as soon as we become aware of something, we can become more intentional about it. And then we multiply, and we are open and waiting and ready to receive. You can put your hands down if it's too tiring. Father God, we are here in this place, recognizing that you have made us just as you intended, each one of us. We put our hands out before you today, saying, use me. I will be faithful. I will be faithful with the seeds entrusted to me, these gifts, these passions, everything that you have put in me is for a purpose. And I know that as I unfurl like the fern, that I am bringing praise to you, and I am being interconnected with my brothers and sisters here to be able to honor you, to be able to build your church for your glory. And I don't even have to worry about the results. It's you, Lord. It's you, Lord. So we leave it in your hands, Lord. We glorify you, and we trust that we will be obedient, but we trust that you will do the work that we cannot do. So today we leave it in your hands. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing in this place. Thank you for what you're doing in my life and in many individuals in this place. Thank you, Lord. You are uncovering who we are, who we are made to be. And in the process, you're uncovering more of yourself as we spend time in worship and prayer and intimacy, and as we trust you with our resources and our gifts, and we steward it well, and as we worship you and lift you on high, and as we share our faith, and as we rest, and we rest in your presence, Lord. All of these things go together to produce the beauty of the body of Christ here in this church for your glory. And so we lay it down at your feet and know that you are the one who is going to make something of this planting. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to invite the prayer team up, and today I just have a special call for those who are sensing the call to step out into faith. Step out in faith into the area of leadership in their gifts. Leadership in their gifts. Whether in the workplace or on the mission field or in the family or in the church, you know God is prompting you to stand up to be the first to take a step of faith. Whether it's informal leadership or just the first. I'm going to be the first. I'm standing up. I'm going to be the first. So that's my call today, that you will consider what God would bring. In Jesus' name. Thank you.